Ladies and gents, welcome back to another Engineers podcast. Today we're joined by Jasal Gadia, who's the head of engineering at Thoughtful AI, a firm based out in Los Angeles. So thanks for joining us all the way from over there. Jasal, Thoughtful are an AI automation platform for healthcare providers. And off air, we've just talked about a really interesting connotation that we can draw, but Jasal's going to go into a lot more detail around who Thoughtful are, the service that they're building for the American healthcare space, and some of the challenges that are associated with that. So I think a couple of really interesting topics of discussion today. Jasal, thanks for coming to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Looking forward to this conversation. Thoughtful, just to kind of give you some background context, we are a healthcare revenue cycle automation platform. So in the simplest terms, the best way to think about it is we try to automate everything from the moment the patient walks into a ambulatory healthcare provider to the moment that they get paid for the service that they rendered for that patient. And we primarily target kind of that mid-tier segment of providers that we call ambulatory services that are like out of the major hospitals. They're kind of like these behavioral health clinics, dental clinics, vision, so on and so forth. And these providers generally struggle a lot with the revenue cycle and kind of the back office processes, because they struggle hiring folks to navigate these complex workflows. There's tons of different software systems involved, lots of red tape to navigate. So we come in and say, hey, why don't you focus on the patient experience? We focus on everything else. So that's kind of the gist of the platform.
Yeah. We're really going to go under the hood in terms of the platform and understand how you've built it. And I think the power that you can leverage from that. It'd be really good to touch on your career and who Jasal is, what your background is.
Yeah. So I've been a technologist at heart since a very young age. I started writing code when I was 11. And I wrote a little program, my first kind of computer program. It was like a little payroll software. My dad had he was an entrepreneur, and he was like, hey, maybe you can like build this little thing for me to do like payroll. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a fun project. So I built that in like Visual Basic and Access. And he showed it to a couple of his friends, and they were like, oh, can we hire the guy who built this? And he was like, this guy's actually a minor, and I don't think you can hire him. But so since then, I was just like, you know, I was just hooked on like internet, and fast forward, graduated computer science, and worked in the industry for a while, and then landed into starting my own business, a consulting firm, around 2009. We had the financial crisis. Did that for about 5 years, was able to partner with a lot of cool kind of enterprise customers like Google and Panasonic and Lexus, and built a lot of stuff like 3D games to medical software and everything in between. But it was a bit of a grind. We grew the team to about 12 people, and we had an office and everything, and started to like also work with a lot of solo founders, and they were trying to find market fit and raise seed capital. And that's kind of when I got hooked on to like building startups. I was like, oh wow, this is actually a lot of fun going 0-1. So fell into starting another small company, which is a mentorship startup. And we were connecting college students with industry professionals and trying to kind of give them a sense of like, what is it like to actually like graduate in your kind of profession and kind of go out and work for a major corporation? I did that for a couple of years. It didn't quite pan out as I was expecting it to, but it was a great learning experience. I took that and went on to work for an ed tech company there. I was there for about 5 years. We were building tools for AI, for creative education using AI. It was a lot of fun and ended up becoming director of engineering there, and then moved on to BetterUp, which was my last company. It was a coaching, mental health, mental fitness unicorn. I was joined the company when there were like 150 employees, and then it went on a rocket ship to about 700 to 1,000 employees. We had 3 acquisitions. And learned a lot there, led a lot of different teams, and it was an experience of a lifetime. And then just last year, I joined Thoughtful. I kind of followed one of my product manager counterparts at BetterUp. He had started this company, and this was like, okay, maybe this is a great time to make an impact in healthcare, and especially kind of leveraging the power of AI and whatnot. So yeah, here we are.
Love that. Bit of a theme there as well. You like a bit of impact and you like a well-being project.
Yeah. It's always, I'm kind of always drawn to like making a huge impact for the better, like social impact, using technology for good, always kind of excites me. So, yeah.
Yeah. I really want to dive into Thoughtful's bespoke product, because it's a pretty cool product, and I think how I really understood it was almost like a over-the-top solution. But it'd be great to dive into a little bit more about a bespoke product or bespoke versus one platform. So talk to us a little bit about that.
For that, I'll give you some context on how we actually partner with some of our customers. So we go into their practice and we kind of look at the people, the technology and the process lens, and we look at how many folks do they have in their back office doing all of this different processes. What's the technology kind of they're using? What are the point solutions they're using? And what do their kind of workflows look like? How long does it take for them to like submit a claim? What's their kind of error rate in terms of claim acceptance, and how fast are they getting paid? And we look at all of these things and we say, okay, where can we come in and kind of make the biggest impact? Like where are they kind of like leaving money on the table? And then we partner with, we have a, what we call the kind of customer engineers. They specialize in kind of healthcare revenue cycle flows. They have a lot of industry experience, and they also have kind of that engineering mindset. So they come in and we build out what we call a master automation plan. And we partner with our developer network. We kind of give them this master automation plan, and our developer network knows our platform, knows our SDK, knows what we are capable of. And they marry these together and ship a automation for our customers. And the team that I'm heading up is kind of in charge of building this infrastructure layer, building the APIs, building the SDK that empowers its developer network to go out and build on top of. So you can think of like the developer network as kind of engineers are doing this last mile integration. They're taking the Lego blocks and they're kind of piecing the puzzle in the right way for our customers. So, yeah.
Okay. I love that. Last mile for healthcare. Help us understand, some of the challenges behind that, whether they're engineering, or whether it's the challenges behind the industry itself, the healthcare industry itself. But what typical things do you find tough on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, give you a small example of the challenges on the kind of the customer side. So a lot of times when we come in, what we see is like, oh, some of these customers, they are extracting data out of platform A, and then they are putting it in a platform B, and then they're doing some transformation on it, and then they're feeding it into a platform C. So when our customer engineers come in, they're like, oh, wait, why are you kind of doing all of these things? And they're, oh, that's kind of how we've done it. That's kind of what we are used to. And we come in and say, oh, wait a minute. Actually, we can actually just take the data from platform A and use the API in platform C and feed it into it. And we have a SDK component that interacts with platform A and platform C. So it's just a matter of stitching those two things together. So those are the challenges that I think our customers are facing. On the developer side, some of the challenges are like, hey, we want to do this in a way that's maybe we want to parallelize the amount of data that we're sending to platform C, and kind of like parallelize the process. We want to do like all these like fancy, what we call like directed acyclic graph kind of workflows. So we are like thinking about from our SDK and infrastructure point, like how do we make that possible? How do we like scale the actual compute of those tasks so that the tasks are getting completed even quicker? And then how do we make that developer experience super seamless so they don't have to like worry about or think about, oh, this thing is going to need a big compute instance versus this thing is going to run parallel and smaller computes, or I want to call this SDK and I don't want to deal with all the API and all the complexity that comes with that platform. I just want that to be part of the SDK. So we're constantly kind of like listening to our developer network and developer experience side of things, and you know, I'm constantly thinking about how do we make it so seamless that it's just kind of like magic for them to implement everything that they need to implement.
I think that's pretty key. It's a real hot topic of conversation at the moment. Developer experience, how do you make the interaction, the integration really, really easy to use? Why do you think developer experience is so important for this model? And what do you think are the most important things to consider when building a great developer experience, especially in healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, the reason this is so key for this model is this allows us to scale, right? I mean, if we have a poor developer experience, I think it just kind of doesn't incentivize engineers to work on this. It's not fun. It's super tedious. At that point, we're kind of like building like custom software per customer, and that's like a losing game, right? So we need to be able to build software in a way that's kind of like, we think of this like the Formula One race, where you're at the pit stop and you have a team of four or five folks that are like quickly changing the components of the car, and there the car goes and runs. So that's the model we're always inspired by. Like, how can we make that last mile integration experience like that pit crew, right? And they know like all the tools that they have, and they know the tools is going to work when they put it in the car. There's no second guessing, no questioning. So then that's kind of what we like think about, like, how do we make, the, like when they interact with our CLI, the fact that it's just going to work and it's going to give them the right feedback. It's going to be quick. And of course, I mean, this is all like, you know, work in progress. We're tracking the error rates, and it's an aspirational goal. We want to get there. And that's kind of where we start from. And some of the best like developer tooling that you see out there, they have amazing developer experience. I'll kind of name drop one vendor that I really like, Fly.io. Their developer experience is, you just look at their document, you run one command, and your whole entire website is up on their infrastructure. It's so seamless. So that's the level of quality and DevX we're hoping to get to.
Love that. What impact do you think this has had on healthcare providers? Whether it be efficiencies, operationally, profitability, tell me.
Yeah, so like I could tell you like one healthcare provider specifically that comes to mind. I think they had like over 100 locations in the United States. And they had like so much turnover in terms of their the back office staff that was working on all of these processes. And they were leaving so much money on the table in terms of the denial rates, because when you have your workload piling up, your accuracy kind of goes down because you're under the gun. You have to like submit this thing. You have a whole backlog of things to submit. And then on the other side, you have things coming out the other end saying, oh, this is an invalid claim or whatever. And they're just like, oh, we don't have time to deal with all of that. Like, we have all this backlog of claims to submit. So we came in and we're like, okay, you know what? We can clean all of this up. Don't worry about like struggling with hiring folks that know this intricate workflows, spending a ton of time training them, and then kind of always have to deal with this hair on fire problem. So we got their median kind of collection rate to like 100%. We got their claim, what we call a clean claim submission. So like there's no issues with the claim up front. That we got it up to like 99%. So like the best in class. And they loved it so much that we started with one automation module and then we expanded to, I believe, like 9 modules over the time of the engagement, because they're like, oh wow. Like once they see the magic, they're like, okay, now we'll start turning, and then, oh, what else can be like automated? What else can get up to like that 99% accuracy? So,
that's one thing that I loved. Speaking initially, I think it's the people efficiency and the people scalability, building the bespoke platform without having to hire a lot of engineers. And you touch on it in there in terms of training people around the platform, the SDK itself. It can really help. So that's one operational efficiency. Now just think about it in the flow of conversation that would be massively valuable.
So like what I just talked about was like on the healthcare side, on the customer side, and now from our engineering, from our developer marketplace side, a lot of times we engage with the same engineers, so they have kind of like learned the SDK. And they just know it back of their head, like, how do I do this? And boom, 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 boom. They're able to like churn that out super quickly. So that also kind of gives us that compounding kind of effect of like not only just improving the delivery, the value of that, the accuracy of that, but also be able to close do the cycle time much, much quicker. So
do team structures change with how you're bespoke building?
Yeah, so a lot of times it depends on like what we're working on, but usually what happens is our customer engineers, they partner with our lead implementation engineers, and they kind of form a little mini team of automation engineers, and they ship a solution. And so depending on our pipeline, usually we form a lot of small little teams like that that work on our SDK and ship a solution. So a lot of times those same engineers can kind of like cross-pollinate as well. So as if their part of the thing is done, they hop over to a different team and see if their help is needed on the other team. So usually they end up kind of working on multiple different solutions and integrations within a year. So
You've got something really quite interesting with a bespoke platform, the SDKs that sit around that. What do you think the longer term plan is for the business and Thoughtful?
Yeah, I mean, I think like the longer term plan would be to like become a kind of a layer on top of all the healthcare softwares, all the workflows. So the customer is just interacting with our SDK, our platform, and they don't have to worry about everything that's sitting behind that, all that complexity. So like leapfrogging, like, you know, those experiences is kind of what we aspire to do. It's like you just interact with Thoughtful. We have a customer portal. They can log into that. They can look into like how all of the different automation modules are working. And they can eventually even start to use that as their kind of source of truth. And they don't have to worry about logging into like 10 or 12 different systems. Just like one single pane of glass for everything.
That OTT layer, I think, has been really powerful in the market. I've seen it work really well for streaming, but that OTT layer of you just interact with us, let us deal with it. Mm-hmm. Like you say, let us be that pane of glass, and everything behind we will sort out.
Yeah.
As in, we will integrate with, plug in with, or however it might work.
Yeah. And also, like, worth mentioning that this industry, this market has a ton of different players. And yeah. There's like a large player in, like, for example, UiPath. That's a publicly traded company. And they do a lot of this automation as well. But the difference is that they come in and they a lot of times partner with consulting firms. So the consulting firms like Deloitte, McKinsey, they use that platform. And then if the platform itself is so complex that they need like a team to deploy it. And then usually once the deployment is done, the team leaves and the customer is kind of left with like, kind of like, what that? Like, wait a minute, what just happened?
What's wrong?
And they're left with all that like complexity of the platform, and they're thinking, okay, now how do we actually run this? If they have a change in their workflow or if something breaks, they don't know how to deal with that. And so they need to then, they end up hiring folks, now just different kind of folks. Instead of folks that are doing this manually, then they're hiring like automation engineers to actually keep this thing up and running. So that's the differentiator with us. It's like, we say, don't worry about all that. We own the platform. We own all the maintenance, all the long-term support. And you don't have to worry about any complexity. It's just, we just deliver the ROI.
Yeah. And I think that I always love looking at the technology and how it solves the problem space. And American healthcare, to my understanding, has some challenges. It's very different. And like you say, there's privatized players, a number of different players across the market. Whereas in the UK, as an example, we're one single source of truth, or mainly. That's what I think is a really interesting problem to solve. Mm-hmm. The number of privatized players, and I'm sure state by state, that's very different too. So there is this big, big problem that you're trying to solve. And I think if you can get it right and create an ecosystem around that OTT layer, you can solve not all, but a fair amount of problems.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like you said, like there's so many privatized layers, and that trend is all. Is increasing as the time goes on, because the frustration with kind of like your usual healthcare provider that's kind of, you know, you have to navigate all the bureaucracy. If you have like a HMO insurance plan, you have to like get an approval, and then once you're approved, then you can go see the doctor. All of that. So that's all these private like ambulatory providers are circumventing a lot of that. And they just like, you come in, you pay us cash, and we'll render your service. But like all of these services, they need like that back office to do the payment processing. And a lot of times these patients that are coming in and say, hey, can you take our insurance? And then they're like, yeah, okay, like we can take your insurance. But then they have to navigate all of this like insurance bureaucracy. So I think like that's like putting a lot of pressure on their margins, that they are like, you know, they have to find all these people to train them on all these back office workflows. And then soon enough, they realize that, oh my gosh, this is actually like super complex to run. So there's a whole like profession around like revenue cycle, back office. Like you have like project managers, you have like analysts, and you have like, it's incredible like how much like manpower you need to like work with this bureaucracy. So
yeah, well, what do you think your number one tech challenges of today
currently? I think there are a couple of things that we're working on. One is we are trying to mature our infrastructure. So like I said, like how can we run very flexible compute jobs that are complex, that are strung together, and we use the right compute for the right job. That's kind of all the way down in our tech stack at the infrastructure layer. Something at the very top of the funnel is, how do we understand our customers' requirements or their workflows in full fidelity? And that would allow us to kind of do this last mile integration very quickly. And how do we like capture all the nuances, all the edge cases of their workflows? So that's the top of the funnel challenge where we're doing some interesting creative things there. Like, for example, using Jupyter Notebooks as a way to like do a quick last mile integration with all our SDK, all our components in one single page. And then trying to see like how much of this is correct and accurate. And we run that by the customer and say, is this meeting all your requirements? And then we write just test coverage in the notebook itself. And see, is this like meeting, is this passing or not? And then as the developers kind of integrate all the components, the entire Jupyter notebook starts to become green and all the tests are passing. So that's a quick way of for us to like collaborate with customers, engineers, and everybody in one single pane of glass. Okay. So, yeah.
Love that. I think that's what it is, really understanding that customer experience, really understanding the edge cases of actually using the platform. Where are the challenges that you probably don't see like on a day to day from you being an engineer building it? Interesting. Okay. But talk to me a little bit about Thoughtful and the growth of the team over the course of this year, and for people listening, what that might actually look like.
Yeah. So we've been growing about 3x year over year, and I'm increasing growing my team, the platform team. I'm looking for senior technical leaders who have kind of have experience building infrastructure, who are passionate about building great developer experiences, who are kind of interested in doing interesting things in machine learning, AI, and using that to like solve some interesting healthcare challenges. So there's a lot of work to be done. We have an exciting 12-month roadmap ahead of us. So I'm excited and interviewing at full pace. So
love it. Where can we direct people to go? If people are listening and they're thinking, I want to get involved in this, where can we direct people to go?
Check out our website, thoughtful.ai. You can learn a lot more about revenue cycle. We actually have some webinar videos on there as well, where you can kind of learn about how we do all of this stuff, how do we deliver value. And then above all, check out the careers page and then apply if you're interested.
And skills wise, what are you optimizing for?
We want engineers to come in and kind of bring their ideas and how do we scale this? How do we take this to the next level? How do we build a platform like that Formula One pit stop crew that enables that last mile integration? Looking for engineers who are passionate about developer experience, healthcare, that intersection of all of those things, right? The infrastructure. And our tech stack is like, you know, TypeScript, Node.js, React, Next.js. We have a bit of Python. Our SDK is in Python, actually. And we do have a little bit of Go as well for our developer experience, CLIs. So, yeah.
Love that. And I love how you've described it, the intersection between healthcare and developer experience and infrastructure.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really well assembled.
Thank you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to say a big thanks. 30 minutes on the healthcare space, Thoughtful, the layer that you're building to ensure connectivity is just completely easy, seamless, simple to use. It's been super insightful. I want to roll the clock forward 12 months, not so fast, but I want to roll it forward 12 months, see where you guys are, see what the growth looks like and how you continue to impact healthcare providers. I tip my hat to you guys. Love some of the work that you're doing. And obviously a big thanks for coming to share your stories with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was great chatting with you. And yeah, super excited about the next 12 months.
Good. And for everyone listening, we've got links below. Giselle's LinkedIn page, careers site, more on thoughtful AI, so you can learn a little bit more about revenue cycles. And for people listening, likes, shares, subscribes, anything you can do to promote this forward, pay it forward. And a big thanks and bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for watching this episode. Massively appreciate you listening and checking in with us. If you want to find out more about us and what we're doing, please check us out on social media. What we're trying to do at Engineers is build a community to drive knowledge sharing and experiences. On Twitter, we can be found at engineers.io. It's no underscore. We've also got a website, which is engineers.io. These links will all be posted in the description. Any feedback and comments are massively appreciated. We're always looking to improve on where we can. Thanks, guys.